Well, as I said, it's been a month or more since I've ministered. We've been gone with Pastor Corey, and then again, we were gone this past weekend. So the Holy Spirit has not still let me stopped part of what I've been ministering on. It just keeps adding to it. So I don't know if this is the word or not, but I'm going to back preach a little bit. I told Laurie that the other day, and she said, I don't think that's a word. I said, well, it's okay. We'll call it back preach a little bit. In other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to minister a little bit of what the main things that I ministered on over a month ago. And then I'm going to lead you into what the Holy Spirit, where he's been taking me. So I ministered on that we have choices, y'all, in life. And those choices, if we make them in the right way, they work out. If we don't make them in the right way, they don't end up too good. Amen? So the first topic that I talked about was called the reality of your choice. And we went to Deuteronomy 30, and this is pretty close to the front of the book. And God's saying, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So right there, he's setting a choice, okay? He's setting us a choice. But that's one thing that I love about God is he always gives you the answer. The key is if you listen or not. You got to listen. Because in that same scripture, he says, choose life. Amen? Amen? So when we choose life, he's talking about, it's not just about, well, if you don't choose life and you choose death, then boom, you're dead. No, it's talking about you choose eternal life, you choose Jesus, or you choose the world. That's the way the world walks, the way the world sees things, the way the world views things. Y'all, we went to Colorado this past weekend. Hello. There's some different folks up there. And they got green, kind of like the Red Cross, only it's the Green Cross up there now. In other words, they legalized that stuff, and you can go in there and partake. And believe me, we saw a lot of people that you're pretty sure had been doing that. Amen? But see, do you choose to walk the way the world walks, or do you choose to walk in life, in eternal life? Because along with eternal life comes blessing. See, because if we choose death, you choose cursing. And God's not going to curse you. We curse ourselves when we choose that other avenue. When you choose that other avenue, you're saying, I'm going to walk over here. That's not where God made the life, y'all. God put the life in life. He gave us Jesus. And he's saying, choose. See, Proverbs tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen? So, and I may have used that example, I can't remember, but I may have used the example about my great-granddad, how powerful that tongue is, and I've told this before, is that my great-granddad passed when he was 102. He was sane and he was healthy till the day he went to heaven. He always spoke that. He always told my mom when my mom and dad first got married, it was my dad's granddad, and he always said, I'm going to live to be 100 and I'm going to go to sleep and not get up. He lived to be 102. And he did that. He called people. He told them, said, y'all call or come by and say bye on Sunday night because I'm not going to be here in the morning. I'm going out that way, baby, but unless Jesus comes first. Amen. Right? What a way to go. It's like Babe Ruth calling his home run. Right? Yeah. And we, you know what? I cried a little bit because I was sad because Grandpa was always there. He was really the only grandpa I ever knew. He's the one I inherited fiddle playing from. But his kids cried at his funeral, and I'm like, y'all are crying because you didn't go by and see him enough. That's the deal. He was in a nursing home. Every time me and Dad were down there, we'd go and play for him. He could name every fiddle tune I could play. Oh, Jesus. He chose life. Y'all, that's a real example of what your tongue, the power it has. If you choose to say the right things. How many times have you heard people choose, oh, I think I'm getting a cold. And guess what? They got it. Amen? Because they spoke it. The word says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. What are we choosing? See, it's our choice to choose that. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, we always laugh. They messed everything. She messed everything up. Well, it wasn't just her. You know, we can't just blame it on her. But, and we talked about, why did God even let Satan in that garden? Why did God even put that apple tree in that garden? Well, he did because that's our God. It's a free will. You have a choice. But when we look at that and realize that that choice is so simple, because a lot of times, and I've been this way, is when you get ready to make a choice and it's not a big deal, we don't consult God sometime. We don't ask God. God had already told him about that. Do not mess with that tree. Something as small as that apple, that was the choice. And look how it messed everything up. Amen? So when you start thinking about our choices, it can mess things up if we're not making them in God's way. The second thing that I talked about that morning was the value of your choice. Because when you make a choice, your choice has value. It has good value or it has bad value. I used the example of David and Goliath when they fought. When David showed up and he talked to the army, they were scared. They were in fear. Well, the Bible tells us to be not in fear. The army had, and they knew. They knew what God, that God was with them. But yet they chose. Everybody say choose. That's right. They chose to be in fear. But David come in and go, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Amen. He chose to walk with God. Because he had seen how God worked in his life. When God was out and he was leading the sheep, and he was had to fight a mountain lion, had to fight a bear. But who did David give credit to for that? David didn't go, oh, I whipped him. I killed that bear. I killed that lion. No, no, no. David did not do that. David said, my Lord did that for me. He had my back. He had my front. Well, but the army forgot. But see, when David came in, he said, who defiles the Lord's army? Who? Who's coming against you? See, David's value in the choice that he made because he knew the Lord was with him. Amen? He made that choice because of God. Y'all with me? All right. So when he chooses to have the Lord with him, he walked that way. Do you think that rock would have killed Goliath if he had not been walking with the Lord? Yeah, probably not. I mean, we can't say for sure, but that's not how it went. He chose. He didn't have to have the big sword and the big shield because it was too big for him in the first place. He had five smooth rocks and it took one. Because he chose God. Amen? John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that doesn't believe on him is condemned. David was not condemned because he chose the Lord. He believed. He knew. He knew that as long as I have God on my side, I can do anything. It wasn't the 10-foot tall and bulletproof type, but it was the confidence that my Lord would guide and direct me if I chose the Lord. The third thing that I talked about was the impact of your choice. Amen? So the impact of when we make a choice, that choice does not just affect you. It doesn't just affect you. It affects people around you. It not only does it affect your family, but it affects people that you know. And sometimes you don't even know a choice you made affected somebody else. You may find out later. You may not find out at all. And I use the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right before they went into the fiery furnace, and if y'all hadn't read that, then you need to. But so they were wanting him, Nebuchadnezzar, was wanting them to bow down to a gold blob that he built. And they said no. We stand with our Lord. And he said, but you must bow down to this golden blob that I have made. I want you to worship. They said, not happening. Here's how much they were sold out for God, is that they said, even if we get thrown into that furnace, our Lord will save us. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. Man, that's a choice, y'all, to be sold out for the Lord that much. That no matter what, this is where I stand with the Lord. Now, what's amazing on that story is that when they opened the deal, it killed two of the guys anyway because it's so hot. And then the three went in there, and then Nebuchadnezzar goes, wait, how many did we put in there? He said, we put three. No, there's four, and one of them looks like the image of the Son of God. Amen. Whoo, Jesus. What a perfect story in the Bible to tell us the impact of our choice. Because now, if we read on a little bit in that, Nebuchadnezzar changed for a while. He didn't choose to stay with it, but he said, oh, we will honor Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's Lord that did this. He told the Chaldeans that we will honor their God for doing that. See, it had an impact. That's what our choices make, y'all. Our choices. One thing is that in Matthew 7, it talks about a narrow gate. Jesus is talking about there's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. The wide gate represents and leads to the world. The narrow gate says that a few will find it, but this is the gate to life, to eternal life. Jesus wants us to choose that narrow gate. We don't choose to walk the way the world walks. We choose to walk the way Jesus walked. Amen? One thing that we have to start understanding is that God's already done everything. Now, I'll tell you, and for those of you who are visiting, y'all don't get too worked up over that. I used to get worked up over it. It kind of, what, God? No, wait a minute. God's supposed, what's, the Bible tells us what everything God's done. He's already done it. It's our choice to reach out there and take the blessing. It's our choice to operate in tithes and offerings in his economy or not. It's our choice to receive healing. He's not just going to go, boom. We have to ask for it. We have to receive it. We have to choose to receive it. That's what I mean. God's laid it out there for us. What's your choice? Do you choose to walk in the world way, or do you choose to walk the way Jesus walked? I choose Jesus' way. Amen. 1 Corinthians tells us that faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Whoo! Everybody say power of God. Amen. Yeah, there ought to be some hand clapping on that. Man, because the power of God is where we're going this morning. Amen. I told y'all I'd get you there. The power of God is something that we've, Rusty, Howdy, Corey, we've all been preaching on dominion and authority, and that has to do with the power of God. And so, as the Holy Spirit's moved me and showed me things, I have to preface with where I'm going with this, with the little incident that happened this week. Laurie and I and Alyssa, most of y'all know my daughter, one of our daughters, we decided Alyssa wanted to run in a 5K in January, February. So we started training for it. We started running. And I've always ran over the years. And last Wednesday, it's about 6:15, 6:20, 6:30. It wasn't sun up yet. But there's a park there in Burnet we went down to. And it's the parking lot's lit, but not real well. But the reason we decided to stay in the parking lot until it got light enough to run on the trail so we wouldn't trip or anything. And this parking lot has no curbs whatsoever. So we thought. So we're running along, and I'm on the outside toward the grass, and I have my hands in my hoodie because it's cold. Got my hood tied around my face. We're running, and all of a sudden, I face plant on the pavement and hear a crunch. So that's the reason for the goatee. It busted my lip, crammed my glass up into my eye and stuck, and I'm laying on the ground hurting, and my wife's going, "Turn over, let me see you, let me see you." And I'm going, All she could see was blood. And Alyssa, bless her heart, but you know, in this, and when this happened, they're talking to me, but at the same time, they already started speaking over me, y'all. Ricky's moaning and groaning. I'm not sure if it was tongues or not at that moment. It wasn't. Laurie didn't think so. But bless Alyssa's heart, I've got a black eye right here and up in here, and my other glasses were turned this way, and the lens was stuck up in my eye. Alyssa had to pop them, pull it out of my eye socket. So I'm not telling y'all that for, believe me, it hurt. That's the reason for dress pants today, y'all. I lost about 2 or 3 layers of skin on this knee, and I put on starched jeans this morning, even with the bandage, and it was like, oh no, this ain't working. I'm like, oh, I said, they'll really know something's up before I tell them what if I preach like this. Took 2 or 3 layers of skin off the hand here, and it was ugly. I'll just admit it. And so I don't know if it was mom and dad. Somebody asked me, said, "Well, are you okay?" I said, "Well, if I had pride, it would have hurt my pride. But I don't have any. It didn't hurt. It just hurt." Okay? And so God's good. I mean, my wife and my daughter started taking authority over the situation. I wasn't feeling all that great Friday. Get nauseous, headache, some. She said, "Let's go to the doctor just to get checked." So they did and we'd already been praying. We did a CT scan. There was no cracks, no bleeding on the brain. And I do have a brain, for those of you who were in doubt. But he just said, rest. He diagnosed it as a concussion. And just, you know, it comes and goes. I'm good part of the time. Part of the time, it's so if I have to refer to notes more often today, I have an excuse. So. But I'm saying this because somebody needs to hear what I'm fixing to say, because this is not where my message originally started to go. God did not put that bumper out there in the parking lot while I was running. See, a lot of people go, "Well, why did God let that happen?" God didn't let that happen. I made a choice to run at 6:30 in the morning when it was still a little dark. I didn't see that curve. Now, as we are believers, we want to blame the devil. And honestly, I would really like to blame the devil for this one. Well, the devil didn't put that curb there either, y'all. You need to understand that sometimes things just happen. You know what? See, we always want to blame something or have an excuse, but it wasn't God's fault. And like I said, as much as I want to blame the devil, it's not his fault either. I made the choice to run, y'all. I didn't do my job in looking around well enough to see what was there. So when we make a choice, sometimes things just happen. But here's the important part of where we're going with the message this morning. What do you do when it happens? What do you do when it happens? Because if you don't know what to do when something like that happens, that's when the devil starts to play, right? Because I'll have to be honest with y'all. My glasses that got mangled, I took them to the eye doctor Wednesday afternoon and had them readjust them. They were still good. Lens wasn't even scratched. But probably one of the reasons that Laurie ended up taking me to the doctor on Friday afternoon was I couldn't see real well out of the right eye. And I'm like, because I wear progressive lenses, y'all. And so the bifocals are on the bottom, and some of you know. With my right eye, I'm trying to read stuff and write and doing this, you know. And so Friday, as we were getting ready to go to the doctor, I got into my truck. I had these old pair of glasses. And I put them old glasses on. Boy, it cleared right up. I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." It was the lens on that other glass had gotten so messed up, I couldn't see. But we still went and got checked. Praise God, we had started doing the right thing. But during those 2 or 3 days, y'all know what the devil was doing? He's going, "You feel bad, don't you? You feel bad. That hurts, don't it? That hurts. Yeah. How's your head? Your head hurt?" Constantly. And I'm going, "You're under my feet, devil, in Jesus' name." That's what I'm talking about today. I made the choice. No, it wasn't God. It wasn't the devil that caused that incident. It happened. And sometimes we got to get over that, trying to know what it was. Probably none of y'all have ever tried to figure stuff out like that when it happens in your life. You just go, "Oh, it just go on." I can say I've tried to figure out stuff before. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
But you're here, praise
Amen. I'm here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, y'all turn to Genesis 1:26, please. Oh. Genesis 1:26. Everybody say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Oh my, if you're not. Oh, everybody's there. Man, look at y'all. Y'all just knew it was at the front of the book, didn't you? That's right. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" And so I checked that word out, dominion. And even in the Amplified, it says, "have complete authority," which means to rule or govern. Wait a minute. God's telling us in the very first chapter that we have dominion, that we have that authority to rule over not just fish and fowl and animals, but we can take dominion over. It says every creeping thing. Y'all, there are some things that are creepy that are people and not animals. I'm just telling you. Amen? And we're seeing a lot more of it nowadays. I mean, it's there. So we have the dominion that we can take authority over all that stuff. Look at verse 28. Oh, let's just read 27. It's God's word. "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female." Everybody hear me? Male and female. Amen. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.'" Man, somebody needs to start. We got to start understanding, and we got to start claiming that we have dominion and authority. We have to take that power, y'all. Y'all listen to this in the, I borrowed my wife's Passion Bible because I like to check things out. And I love what it says in the footnotes of the Passion Bible on verse 28. It said, "God's blessing upon the human family implies love. God blesses both men and women." Listen to this. Empowering them to live on this planet. Listen. Infusing them with power and favor to succeed in life.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus. Don't you like that? I love that word, infuse. Because see, when we choose God, he infuses us with power. Amen? So, biblically, The Bible, y'all know it's a good book. If you haven't checked it out, or if you've just checked out one or two things in it, you expand yourself. There's some cool things in there. But as I studied this out, there's two kinds of power in the Bible that I want to talk about this morning. Okay? The first one is called dunamis power. And that's the one that we talk about a lot, Pastor Corey. You know, dunamis power is the inherent power, power of reproducing itself. And Pastor Corey says, it's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. And see, that lives on the inside of us. When we receive Jesus Christ, we have that power. Y'all flip to Acts 1. I'm going to lay this out for y'all. Acts 1. So in Acts 1, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. So listen to the Amplified, because as I read the Amplified of this, it really makes a really good statement. But you shall receive power, and in parentheses it says ability, efficiency, and might. Okay, so let's stop right there, because that one word that stuck out says the ability. When we're infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability. It doesn't say that it's going to work by itself. Amen? The Bible says it's not dripping off of us, y'all. It's because then everywhere we go, when we walk, and it just drips off of us, and people just start doing whatever. No. That's not how it works. It's not goofy. But what it does tell us is that we have the ability to use that power. We have the might of that power. Isn't that so good? Oh, my Lord. Okay, so dunamis, we understand. That's the power in us. Okay, that's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that we have on the inside of us. Okay, number two, it's called exousia, and it's spelled E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia power. And being a math teacher, I'm sure, used to be a math teacher, I pronounced that properly. That was a joke, y'all, it's okay. Exousia. This is authority or delegated power. Liberty and right to put forth power. Y'all turn back to the left a little bit and go to John 1. John 1. It's not too far to the left. In John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he's given us that power, y'all. He's delegating the power to use the dunamis power. Everybody with me? Does that make sense? See, He's delegated the authority to use the power we have. Man, that didn't seem to knock y'all's socks off like it knocked off mine. Because I'm thinking that I have this power and I can use it, but most people don't understand you have the right to use it. Amen? You forget that you have this power inside of you, and when you fall into a face plant on the ground, you can start speaking to that. Amen. And you don't have broken bones in your face. Yeah, you. Howdy said, man, you get in a fight? You know? Well, the other guy looked like, yeah. I looked at my hand. It's like, yeah, it does kind of look like it, but no. But see, I've been delegated. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have that power. And he's delegated the power to use that power. Amen. Yeah. And that's what we should be doing. Yeah. See, we start taking authority over any situation. Part of you still don't believe me. All right, let's go to Luke 10. I'll just explain it a little further then. Luke 10. Woo, thank you, Lord. Yes. Feel good. Feel good. Luke 10, verse 19. So we've got both kinds right here in this one verse. We've got, behold, I give unto you the power. Right there, Jesus is delegating that authority to us. He said, I'm giving you that power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, the dunamis, over the enemy. Amen. Amen. So right there in that verse, he took care of both of them. He explained it to us. And that's what that means. It means that you're able to use that power. You are able to take dominion over every creeping thing. That means people that we don't are not doing what God said we're supposed to do. Amen? See, we can take dominion and authority. We can start changing things, y'all, but we have to speak to them. And that's something that a lot of people have trouble speaking it out loud. No, why don't you start speaking to it? You take authority over it. Man, I'm thankful that my wife and daughter started taking authority over me laying there moaning on the ground. Y'all? They did the CAT scan and we weren't in doubt. He came back and told us nothing we didn't already know. And I already knew I had a brain. So I knew that too. Amen? See, they started speaking that over me right then. Even when I didn't feel like speaking much of anything. That's how powerful that we have in us if we use it. We've been delegated that power. Amen? So, flip over to Matthew 28. Get a little exercise in the word flipping this morning. I love it. Matthew 28, we're going to be at verse 16. This is the Great Commission. It's after Jesus is resurrected. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, so right here, Jesus is telling them, man, I've been resurrected. The Father's given me the power. Amen. It's mine. He tells us right there. Now what he does next, he says, go ye therefore. Right there, he's delegating that authority and power to the disciples. And he does, that's for us too, y'all. So when he says, go ye therefore, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, he is delegating that authority to us too. And we have to take that authority because he said, you do as I commanded you to do. Are we doing every commandment he's telling us to do? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, authority, I wrote this down. Authority is as strong as the power behind it. Do y'all realize how powerful our power is that we have because what's behind it? It don't get any bigger than that. Man, I mean, that is power times infinity power. Power behind the body of Christ is the greatest power in all creation, the power of God. Amen? The word says, 1 John 4 says, greater is he that is in, the word says you, but we try to make it personal and we say me. Greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's that power, y'all. That's the power that we have, but do you choose to use that power? That's the key. Okay. I'm getting close. Wow, it's already 11:45. Time sure flies. Okay, I'm going to start closing with this. Y'all turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to start in 4, but then when we get to a little bit over, I'm going to talk about a few. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Boy, I tell you what, that one's a big one. But my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, when we're not speaking the word and we're not talking about Jesus, it's hid from the people that need to hear it. People are hungry, y'all. People are hungry to hear the word of God. Laurie and I were sitting at the hotel last Saturday morning. We'd have breakfast. We got to visit him. There was a man there, and then there was another gentleman in there. There was a black man, and then this guy was in there, and then there was a Hispanic lady over here. And this guy that was sitting there, and he just got to talking to us. His son played football for the University of Northern Colorado. He was there for the game. You know, a real nice man, you know, and he asked what we did. And I told him I was a minister and was there to minister. And then the other guy, we all got to talking and having this conversation about God. And they were like, it was like whether we agreed or not, we had a human conversation. However, it was really shocking that we were all three on this, or and Laurie were all on the same page. This is a great, and the one guy, the black guy, was a military guy. He had served our country for 20 years. And he was not happy about the way things are now. That God was not in the world like it should be. I mean, he was very, well, then this Spanish lady, I told her, we invited him to church. She said, well, I need prayer. My kids are all sick, and I'm having to live in a hotel right now. I can't even go home and stay. So we did what we know to do. We prayed for that lady right there with her in there. I'm not telling you that for kudos. I'm telling you that because that's what we have to start doing, y'all. And I used to be 10 years ago one that would have never done that. I was afeared to do that. I'm not anymore, y'all. The world needs to see that we care, that we love, that we take dominion over her kids' illness. We have to get bold enough to do it. You have to make the choice, y'all. That lollygagging, not playing around, is done. We have to move toward that. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, everybody say the devil, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. Remember, we preach Jesus. Amen. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Woo, Jesus. You see, that's that power that I'm talking about. That's that light that we got to let it shine, y'all. We've got to let it shine. And I remember, and it might have been a month or so, but I'd seen Chip Brim did a podcast, and he was talking about that he was all in for God, but once you're all in for God, what are you doing? You got to go all out. You can't be just all in and not do anything. So, it was really weird studying yesterday, because the Holy Spirit goes, that's like a light bulb that's only partially screwed in. It flickers on and off. That bulb's doing no good. That power is doing no good, because that bulb is not getting the full access of that power. See, if we're just all in and we're not all out, we're not getting the full power of God. And so we have to start being all out for God. And then we have that power where our light bulb doesn't flicker. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because we understand now that that power, that's the light to use that so people can see what Jesus done for us. Don't let your light flicker. Amen. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Right there, it's telling us that we may have problems, but we're not going to let it screw us up. Right? We may have a problem, but yet we know what our Lord does. We know what Jesus did for us. We have dominion and authority. We take that over the situation. Do you choose that? What did that say again? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, the word says God won't allow anything more than we can handle to be put on us. And the good news in that is, he also says that he'll make a way out for us. Woo, Jesus. Somebody ought to holler. My Lord. See, because you don't ever have to worry about being in a bind. You don't ever have to worry about getting caught up that there's no way out, because God says, I'm going to make you a way out. But now what's the question? Do you choose to, or do you choose not to? Oh, that's okay, God. I like my way better. Yeah, good luck. Right? See, what are you choosing? Verse 9, I'm sorry. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. See, we don't have to mess with any of that. We have to take dominion and authority. We have to take it because now is the time that we take it. We start taking it over everything. It's like I said, I mean, yeah, I made that choice to run, but it wasn't anybody's fault. That stinking curb's fault. However, once that happens, and once something happens in your life, what are you doing? Are you taking dominion and authority over it? Or do you crawl up in the fetal position and go, wang, wang? No. No. If you're saved, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you have that power that lives in you. He's delegated us the authority to use it. Oh, I like this. He's given us the power of attorney to use that power that he's given us. That power of attorney, he's delegated that to us. He said, here, it's yours. Use it. So why do you have something if you don't use it? Right? Use it. The most powerful thing there is in our lives to use is the power that's in us, the Holy Spirit. We have to start walking that way, y'all. We have to start thinking that way. We have to start getting over us. We have to get out of the way of us, y'all. We have to start saying, God, in Jesus' name, I speak over this situation. I command it to be gone. And it says in Psalms, everything is supposed to, as Psalms 8, 6 says, to under our feet. It's supposed to be under our feet. Put it there. Sometimes you have to keep putting it there. Sometimes it's not easy and doesn't just go away the first 50 times. Keep putting it there. Amen? Do you know that power today? Have you received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life? If you haven't, man, now's the time. It is the time. We never do a service without giving someone opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Man, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you have a choice. It's what we've been talking about all morning. Do you choose life and eternal life? Or do you choose death and hell? It's your choice. But right now, I beg you to choose life. Choose Jesus. He died for us. He died for you. And you can activate that power this morning by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never accepted Jesus, we're not going to do anything goofy. We're not going to have you come down to the front, but we're going to pray right where you're sitting with every head bowed and every eye closed out of respect to everybody else. But right now, we're going to say a prayer out loud, and the believers are going to say it with you. Because we need to get this on our heart, because this is our job, y'all. We've got to lead people to the Lord. It's time. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and believers, y'all say it with us. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, open the door of my heart. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come in and save me. I believe, Jesus, you died on that cross for me, and that you rose from the dead, and that today that light shines in me. Thank you that today my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And before I say amen, y'all keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, on the count of three, I just want you to stick your hand up, put it right back. We just want to get a Bible to you. There's a card in there. If you can fill it out and put it in one of the offering buckets, because we want you to be planted. If you just received Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, put your hand up and put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? All right, y'all. Y'all look up here. That means everybody in here is going to heaven. So it's our job to get people into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Come on up, Howdy.